Spirit of the Lord would anoint and bless. Very thankful for the presence of the Lord in the services, and that we can come and He's been faithful to us to meet with us. Thankful for the songs and for the fellowship that we have in Christ this morning. Very thankful for each one of you today. Young people in their song, they mention one of the verses said, if the Lord removes the veil from our eyes. Do you know the Lord does not want us to have a spiritual veil over our eyes this morning? By the help of the Lord, I'd like to share a little bit about vision this morning. I'd like to talk about vision of something specific. Vision of the church. Is it fair to ask how your vision is this morning? Because when you have a lack of vision, obviously you cannot see clearly. And when you do not see clearly, you are more prone to stumble. You are more prone to run into something. You are not able to read like you used to. I notice as I'm getting older, and my wife and I were talking about this the other morning, we were trying to see something, and it was like, Granny, can you please turn the other lights on? Because my eyes are growing dimmer as I get older, and I just don't see like I used to be able to see. So I can still wear glasses, but you know, some of the older folks at home, their one request in the chapel was they said, we want light. We want light because they need, their eyes are a little dimmer. Do you know that the Lord is interested in us having vision and light spiritually this morning? And if we don't have vision, if our vision is getting blurred, we're going to begin to misinterpret reality. And when it comes to the subject of the church, there are many people that have misperceptions about what the church of God is. They don't understand what it is, and to many people, the church of God is just another church among churches. It is another group among groups. Pull into towns and you see the signs on the road, you know, put up by Lions or Kiwanis Club that says, attend what? The church of your choice. And we each one have that privilege this morning. However, God still does have a church. He still has a people, the body of Christ, whose desire and purpose is to please God regardless of their thoughts and feelings and opinions, where they will allow the Word of God to be their creed and their rule of faith. And so I would this morning, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to deliver the burden that I have on my heart, that the Lord put on my heart. I'd like to begin over in the book of Revelation. Very familiar passage, and yet one that is very beautiful. In Revelation, in the 7th chapter, begin reading with verse 9. And when you go in to get your eyes checked, you know if you have good eyesight, let's say you have 20/20. And they give you a little test and you know, tell where the alphabet is and what letters there are and if there's ups and downs, and they have you go down the chart. Do you know the Lord wants us to have a very clear vision of what the church is? And may I say before we begin reading this, if we begin to lose vision of what the church is, we will begin to lose our purpose as a people. And if you want a vision of the church, it starts with getting a vision of Jesus Christ. Because if you are looking to people to define what just the church is and just people, and you don't have a vision of the purity and holiness of Christ, you will never see the body of Christ for what it's supposed to be. How can we see the body if it's not Christ Himself? And so over in the book of Revelation, in the 7th chapter, beginning in the 9th verse, he said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds. Do you know that God's people, and Brother Tony said it in his prayer, I believe it was, do you know that the Lord has more people than just what's here this morning? If we say, well, this is only the body of Christ, oh no, the body of Christ is bigger than just us this morning. But I am not ashamed to proudly, in righteousness, to thankfully say I am part of the body of Christ this morning. And if we are not careful, I've seen it and I've observed it, people are shying away from being able to, with assurance, say, yes, I'm part of the body of Christ. And I'm just kind of part of a group. I don't want to be part of just a group this morning. I want to be tied in with Jesus Christ that I can be part of His body. And as you are part of His body, when we come together, we make up a visible part of the body of Jesus Christ. Well, so he saw a great multitude which no man could number. Isn't that wonderful? No man could number it. He went on to say, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Do you know that the headquarters of the Church of God is not the United States? Do you know that when he began, well, let me tell you about, there's a history, and I'm thankful for the history, but God's people have a history of other kin and other kindreds and every, we have a praying mantis up here. You can join him. Pray the Lord to bless his word. The Lord has, where he has people, the headquarters is still in heaven, is it not? So young people, this is reality. We talk about vision in understanding. When people say, well, where are you all headquartered? And you say, well, it's heaven. People look at you like you're just talking semantics. And say, yeah, everybody says that. But really, where is your headquarters? The answer this morning is really, it's up in heaven. Because that's where the membership book is kept. Do you realize and know the Church of God does not have a membership book here? And the reason is, if we sign your name up, you could have sin in your life. And if we say, well, here's the membership book, it's right here, and you have sin in your life, are you really part of the body of Christ? And maybe someone that's living a ways off and they don't have the opportunity of fellowship and we didn't get their name on the book, does that mean they're not part of the body of Christ? The Lord knows those that are His this morning. And so the Church of God goes way beyond an earthly organization. It is not defined by man's organization, a corporation. Now, I know there are names that people have to legally file for certain things, but you realize the name of God's people, it is the Church of God. And we'll get there, but that's not because it was voted on in a minister's meeting. That's because it's in the Bible. And that's what we want to go back to have our vision open and enlightened. Because if we begin to think, and I say in love this morning, there are too many that are losing their vision of what the church is. And because of it, some people begin to get too ecumenical. And some get too exclusive, like, I'm the only one. Well, it's bigger than you this morning, thank God. And it includes a lot more, but it is exclusive of all sin and unrighteousness. And so, see, we have to be careful then that our vision is clear. Because how can we go out and minister effectively without clear vision? We're going to get in trouble. And so he said, these people without number stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. You notice what color they were wearing? It meant it was untarnished. It was undefiled. It was clean. You know, God's people are a clean people. When you look at them, they're not going to look like the world looks. They're not going to act like the world acts. These, the righteous, had white robes on, undefiled. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne. The angels and the elders fell down and began to worship and give God praise, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God. Do you know where this body of blood-washed ones, do you realize where they were giving praise to? It was giving praise to God. There was no worship of the great multitude that was around the throne of God. The angels up in heaven and the elders representing the church of the old and the new covenant, they were giving glory to God Himself. That is still where the message and the praise and the glory is for us today. It is never to go to who we are, but it is to be pointing to God Himself and to the Son, because we only have righteousness as it is found in Jesus Christ. Anytime a congregation or a ministry or a group of people or a fellowship, by any name that they call themselves, whether it be Church of God or something else, and they begin to exalt and lift themselves up as the icon of spirituality and the ones that you come to us, that's a false group and a false ministry. We are called to come and find unity around the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is to exalt Jesus Christ, not ourselves. Paul said we preach not ourselves, but who? But Christ Jesus. That's the message this morning. Because I have no salvation to give to you. We could have organization, we could have outreach groups, and we could have a lot of activities that go on that could draw on the senses. And we could have a program. But you know, the program will never bring redemption to the soul. It'll never bring that soul peace, but Jesus Christ can. And so the body that was around the throne of God are those that had found salvation and victory through Jesus Christ Himself. And one of the elders said to me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Have you ever had someone, you young people, ever come and say, where do you go to church? Now, first of all, the premise of that question is faulty to start with. Where do you go to church? You know, church is not the building, correct? We all understand that, right? And we don't need to get, I've seen people get really dogmatic on that point. But the reality is, the church is something that is inside of us. That we can have, there's a chapel, but the church is something that goes way beyond four walls somewhere. And so when they ask that question, they'll understand what they mean. So where do you attend services? Who are you? Do you have an answer this morning? Why do you live like you live? Why do you believe what you believe? Well, and you know, my mom and dad taught me this, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful I went to a chapel where there was a minister that taught me something. But do you realize that it's going to have to go way beyond that? We need to get a personal vision of Christ and of His people, and of His truth that goes beyond just something I heard somewhere. And so the question was asked, who are these people? If someone came on the grounds that had never met any of you all, they kind of looked around and said, you all look different, and you do. Thank the Lord for that. Is that something to be ashamed of this morning? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If I am doing something just to be different, I probably need to hold my head down a little bit. When someone comes and says, why are you doing this? Well, I just want to be different, so that's why. No, that's not good enough. But when we are living like we are, because thus saith the Word of God, there's credibility and authority in that. I'm living like I'm living because I want to please the Lord. How do I know what pleases God? I turn to His Word. And when the Bible teaches something, it may not be popular out there. And Lord have mercy, sometimes it may not be popular with those that you're sitting beside. But the Word of God is unchanging, and it is true, and it is the pathway to victory and salvation. Lord, open our eyes then. He said, who are these people? And He said this. He said, thou knowest. He said, you know who these people are. He said, these are they which came out of great tribulations and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you know that is the essence this morning of the church of God? Who's in the church? It was mentioned the other, every blood-washed one, and it was mentioned the other day, I believe, over in the book of Acts in the third, in the second chapter in verse 47. It said the Lord added to what? The church daily such as should be saved. Who added them? It wasn't the ministry. It wasn't coming up and shaking someone's hand or getting your name written down. It was those that had passed through the blood. And that is still what the church of God is today. Any other doctrine is not from God. And so then if you adjoin yourself and affiliate yourself with a group or an organization that you have to go through a body of people or a ministry or a process other than the blood, that institution is not of God. The church is bigger than that. The Lord is the one that adds to the church daily such as should be saved. May we, Lord, give us a vision of that in this day and age. This is the body of Christ really is different than all these other churches around. But we're going to have a vision of that. So who are we? You know, who are these people? Is there another way to heaven other than Christ? Do you have to be trenched in the history of this body of people that is here? Do you have to know all of the ins and outs of this history of the last 140 years to actually truly be part of the body of Christ? No, you don't. Because, you know, I've been to many places and many countries that to pull out names out of the history hat mean absolutely nothing to them. But when we can go back to the Word of God and begin to teach what this is what the Bible says, do you realize that they began to get a vision of what the church really is? Lord, help us this morning. Many people are struggling with identity crisis. Have you ever, I won't ask for a show of hands, but you know, sometimes people go through an identity crisis. The Lord wants us to know who we are this morning. You say, well, who are you? I know who my dad and mom is, and even if they tried to deny it, I still act like him, and I look like him, and I talk like him, because I listened to him for 18-plus years when I was in the home. And do you realize that they've put their stamp on my life? Do you know this morning the Lord wants His stamp? He wants you to be sealed by His Spirit that people can look on you and they can know where you came from. But when people look on you and us and they don't see any difference from the world and we talk like them and we're living carnally and we're lusting after the things of this world and we walk like them and talk like them and look like them and they say, oh, I know who you are. You're just another church, aren't you? The church of God is bigger than that. The church of God is bigger than that because those that are in the church of God are those that their heart is set after the things of God. It is those that have turned their back on the world and have taken up their cross and say, Lord, I'm giving everything up to follow You in Your way. And the Scripture says, without holiness, what? No man shall see the Lord. So is it good enough just to have a fellowship and we have this meeting at Myrtle once a year? Is that good enough? No, I'm thankful for it, but it's not going to get you into heaven unless you set your heart after the things of God. And when you do that, it'll change your perspectives. You realize there's a difference. If my heart's after the things of the world and I start looking at some of you all and I start nitpicking and I start criticizing and I start saying, well, blaming. I would almost like to ask for a show of hands on this, although I won't. How many of you all have had people say, well, the church of God this and the church of God that, and they do that in a negative way? Am I the only one that's heard that? Do you know the people that are talking like that? And I love them, but I want to tell you something. Something's wrong with their vision. Something is wrong with their vision. I might hurt you, and I might make mistakes, and I might do things that I ought not to do, but let that not besmirch what the true church of God is, because the church of God is bigger than one person. It's bigger than the one that hurt you. It's bigger than the one. But when you get your heart set after the things of God, people look on, well, the church of God has just a bunch of list of rules and regulations. You ever heard that one? I'm hearing it quite frequently. But do you know what? I'm not hearing that from people who have tied in with Christ and giving their love to the Lord and said, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Your body. I want to see the Christ. It's not rules and regulations, folks. If you feel like that, well, you just have to do this and you can't do that, there is a change of heart that the Lord wants to give you that will radically alter your vision and perspective. People say, well, I had to do it because the church. Okay, I asked the ones at home, and I'm just going to ask you all this morning, can we lay that one down? I can't ask it for all the ministers, but for me at least I can. I can't speak for anybody else. Can we lay that one down? You can go do what you want to. No one's going to force you. No one's going to twist your arm and say, well, you better do this or you better do that. You are a free moral agent. If anybody was going to force us to follow a list of rules and regulations, it would have been God Himself, and He chose not to. He chose to give us a will and that we can make a decision. Now, young folks, when you are in the home, you submit to your parents. You follow the rules of the home. You say, well, I'm not saved. I don't have to. You're not saved, but you're still a Smith. Now, that would be for my children. You may not be a child of God, but you're still my child. When you live under the roof, please don't give your parents heartache. If you don't want to live this way, you abide by their rules. And when you get grown and can afford a home of your own, guess what? You can set your own rules in your home. But as for me and my house, that which is going to go on in our home. But when it gets to those that have that power of decision, the ministry is not going to force you to do anything. People say, well, I had to, or else the church would thus and thus. No, this is about our love for God. Do you know when you get a vision of what it means to serve God in the body of Christ, it's about people that are serving the Lord in holiness because they love Him. Why do you do that? Well, because Brother Marty might kick me out. Who's Brother Marty to kick me out? God put us in the church, right? When we came through the blood, and it's only going to be your decision to walk outside of that blood back into sin that's going to do that. You know, we're all people here. Yes, I mean, that's obvious. We have personalities. We have personality flaws, if you want to look at it that way. The Lord uses our differences. And sometimes we might not understand one another. And sometimes someone might rub you the wrong way. But you know what? If you're in the blood of Jesus, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I don't want to allow what maybe someone's personality quirk to affect my vision of what the church of God really is all about. Because it's bigger than that. So an identity crisis of wondering, who are we? Is this just a traditional lifestyle? If that's all, do you realize people say, well, y'all are just living like it was in the 1880s. Really? I mean, just look around. I don't think they look like this in the 1880s. But I want to tell you something. The Scripture still gives instruction. And that means that there is a common level of holiness and purity and godliness in behavior, in speech, in action, in dress, and in conduct that does not change from the generation to generation. We are called to be separate from the world. That is not just tradition. Some people say, well, that's just tradition. And it's like, wait, can we at least go back to the Bible and realize it's not just tradition? You want an example? Have you ever heard people, we're talking about vision now, okay? And can I just preach where we live? Is that okay? Because this is a big thing. A lot of people say, well, that they always talk about dress. Have you all heard that one? Go look on Church of God Preaching and just find them for me. Because I'd really like to see it. You going to find it? No, there needs to be more. I mean, that's just a small part of it, but there needs to be more teaching. But people that say, well, that's all it's about. Saints, they've lost their vision. Because people that aren't living and walking in the truth of God's Word are going to try to find something to justify themselves, to make themselves feel better, because they know I'm not doing right, so it's easier to pick on Brother Danny or Brother Marty or Brother Eugene and pick on the ministry rather than it is to look myself in God's mirror and do business with Michael. So it's easier just to blame God's people. But when we begin to get a vision of what the church is a beautiful thing. It's something that's pure and inviting. And they say, well, there's so much judgment. No, love overrides judgment. And there is judgment because there is truth. because there is truth being preached and taught and lived, and that tacitly brings about a judgment to sin in people's lives without ever wearing that little Church of God policeman badge going around lining people up. The Spirit of the Lord can do that. But when the Word of God is preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it will begin to open up blinded eyes. And I want to see the glory and the beauty of God's people like it is, lest I lose my way. Lest I begin to be disenfranchised and discouraged with the group or the fellowship. I want to see the body of Christ and what it really means. The enemy is battling so hard to blur people's vision, because when our vision is blurred, we're going to begin to go the wrong way. We're going to begin to make wrong decisions. That's where the enemy is working. One of the fundamental doctrines and principles of what makes up the church is that there is the ability through Jesus Christ to live without committing the moral violations that separate mankind from God. That is a teaching that we do not live under the old covenant. We do not live by the Mosaic law this morning. A new covenant came. It's like a will. When someone signs a new will, the old one is done away with. We're not following the Old Testament, the old covenant anymore. Under the old covenant, they offered sacrifices, but they could not live without sinning. There was an atonement in finding forgiveness of sin, but no power to go and do differently. But if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you realize this morning that probably 90-95%, a large percentage of Christian churches, so-called, in our world today, do not teach that very fundamental doctrine? They say you must sin. You know, more or less every day. And one brother even mentioned to me yesterday, and it's the same principle that, you know, God's grace won't go that far. I'm thankful God's grace reached down to me in my sin and it lifted me up. His grace elevated me and it enables us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. That's the power of God this morning. That's what the church is, people that are following Christ and His blood and His Spirit is enabling them to live without sin. And so then when we are faced with decisions and casually walk away from God's people and say, well, I'm just going to go to service over here because, you know, there's some things I don't like what you all teach here. What are we teaching? If we're teaching something other than the Bible, we need to talk. But if we're preaching the Word of God and you don't like it and you choose to go somewhere else, you are walking away not just from this body of people, you are walking away from God Himself. Is that true? Because the point is this, it's not the physical separation that I'm speaking of here, though, but it is the separation of you and truth that is in the Word of God. And when I say I don't like it, Brother Marty, Brother Dan, I hear what they're preaching and I don't like it, so I'm going to go, I feel more comfortable in this other congregation church down the road. You know that if your heart is not to follow the Lord, you probably will feel more comfortable in that congregation down the road. I don't want you to go. I want you to stay and be uncomfortable. But I'd rather you stay and get comfortable and give your life to the Lord, to ask the Lord to open up your vision that all I'm seeing is can'ts and this, and that's not what it's about this morning. The Church of God is about freedom. It is about truth. It is about unity. It is about the peace of God. And if the world had the peace to offer, why isn't the world at peace? If you could find it in the drugs, in the alcohol, you would say, well, I'm not going that far. Well, you might, but if you find it, well, I want to let up on this a little bit. If that was really the answer, you ought to find greater anointing of God in those places. If you find it, please come and share it with me. Do you realize I'm not here just because I was born into a family that fellowshiped with this people? That's not why. That's not the only reason I'm here. Thank you, Sister Jeannie. That's not the reason I'm here this morning. I'm here because I want to be where other people love God. I want to be where I can hear truth. I want to be where I can experience that anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to be in a place that challenges me to rise above myself and be more like Christ. I want to be in a place where there are like-minded people, and I want to be in a place, and that's what I found among God's people. But Lord, open our vision. How do you see this morning? What do you see this morning? It is sin. The Scripture says over in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. So if we choose to go and fellowship somewhere, and we say, well, they're good people. Young people, these are questions that are asked frequently, and they're worthy questions. People say, well, so are you saying that those people are not saved? Is that a fair question? Let's answer it. If someone has been washed in the blood of Jesus and is living without sin, are they saved? Yes. Are they part of the church of God? Yes, that's God's church. They may not be walking in all the light of the Word of God. They may not have all the understanding that you have been blessed with, but I still believe, Lord, give us vision. We sang in that first song, Brother Tom, it talked about fellowship. Every what? Every blood-washed one. Do we still believe that this morning? Lord, help us. People that have a problem with fellowshipping every blood-washed one because we don't have a common history, they need more vision. The church of God is truly everybody all over the world in any group fellowship that has passed through the blood of Jesus. But here's a warning. I can get saved and I'll be careful here now, but sometimes I think we're too careful. I could be saved in the church down the road that's preaching another doctrine. And if I humble my heart and in sincerity and humility, I come to the Lord and ask to be saved, the Lord will save me. But I want to tell you, it's really hard to keep the victory when the preacher's getting up telling you you can't live free from sin. It's a little bit hard to grow in Christ Jesus and for holiness to be perfected in my life when I am surrounded by people that say those things don't matter. Go where you want, listen to what you want to, watch what you want to, and the grace of God will just cover you. No, the grace of God is greater than that. And it's hard to stay saved under false doctrine. And there's a message in the Scripture about that to God's people, isn't there? The message was come out in Revelation chapter 18. It was come out of Babylon and be not partaker of her sins. And you say, well, are you saying they're not saved? No, we're not saying that. There are some good people, and I thank God that He has people that are saved other places. But the system where false teaching is being taught, it is a bankrupt system. And it's difficult to stay saved and live victoriously. And so the Scripture says, don't be a part of that. It's not about moving someone, and I'm going to go church hopping, trying to find where I'm most comfortable. Do you realize that most of those places are places the Lord has very clearly told us you need to come out and separate yourself from them? It would be better to stay home and listen to messages and study the Word of God at home than to enter into a close fellowship with other people that are not teaching and living the truth. There will always be people among us that aren't living the truth, correct? There is no better place for the sinner to be than right here this morning. There is no better place for those that are not living a holy life than to be in our local congregations. Is that right? We welcome you. People say, well, do I have to dress this way to come? Absolutely not. Just come on. I'd appreciate that they be respectful. I appreciate they be respectful, but we don't have some process that they have to go through. We're glad they're there. Where else are they going to find the truth? Where else are they going to find something that will liberate? And once their heart is changed, you know there's going to start coming fruit of that change? There's going to start being fruit of holiness. They're going to stop talking like they used to talk. They're going to stop going to where they used to go. They're going to stop looking like they used to look. They're going to not put that on. And they're going to start having the fruit of godliness and gentleness and the joy of the Lord. And the love of God will begin to come out of their life. But Lord, give us vision. Do you see that this morning? That's the church of God. This is not just another group of people here this morning. It's not just another group. There's no other people like you. Now, what about when someone says, well, what about these folks down the road over there? They're teaching pretty much what you're saying here. Thank God. Thank the Lord. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this man's casting out devils in your name. We need to shut him down. What'd Jesus say? Leave him alone. I thank God. You realize that we are not defined. We don't have to try to force that, to lift ourselves up that no one else can have the Holy Spirit working among them if you're not associated with us. Who is us? Who is us? Blood-washed ones. So if there's some blood-washed ones over there, God bless them. And there may be some things that maybe they're walking maybe just not quite right, but Lord, all I can say is, Lord, help me and Lord, help us. If there are areas that we're falling short, Lord, open up our eyes that we can grow and do better in you. I don't want to ever think that I have such a monopoly that there aren't areas the Lord's wanting to say, hey, we need some improvement here. We need some change here. Lord, help us. Lord, help us understand. And that means then, and let's just, again, where we're at, we're not in competition with anybody else. We're not in competition with any other group. Say, what about all these Church of God groups? You think the Lord's pleased with that? I'll tell you what that is. That's called Church of God babbling. That's right. And you know, a lot of them are saying the same thing in their meetings. So who's going to change? Who's going to bend? I'll just tell you what I've told others. I don't have all the answers. But all I know is I want to stay faithful to the Lord and to the truth and to the light. I believe that as time goes on and the world gets worse and worse, it's going to begin to bring God's people closer together. The Lord wants us to fellowship. But here's another fair question, and I, again, by the help of the Lord, want to answer it. People say, well, but you fellowship and extend your hand to fellowship. Do you know, just because I accept someone as a brother or sister in the Lord does not mean that we would just open up the pulpit to them? There is a difference. There are people that are saved and love the Lord, but they are not qualified for one reason or another to take a place of leadership, whether in a general meeting or even in a local congregation. Is that right? So understand, and that messes with people's vision sometimes. They say, well, y'all are just really exclusive. We've had that charge thrown at us before. But do you know the Church of God is exclusive of... I don't want someone coming and preaching something or establishing a method of worship that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. But that doesn't mean I'm going to say you're a sinner. But I don't want them teaching the young people. I don't want them drawing the young people to a practice that isn't right. But I can still accept openly and freely that they're saved and they love the Lord. And I acknowledge that the Spirit of the Lord is moving among them. Thank God for that. But let us as a people stay faithful in the place that God has put us, teaching and living truth with a vision of God's people. There is a, in the time of Christ, there was a mixed multitude, wasn't there? People sometimes look around and say, you call this the church? Say, look at this one here and look at that one there. Well, let's go back and look at in the time of Christ. There were those that followed Christ for the loaves and the fishes, weren't there? We look and we talk about the glory of the early morning church. Do you know where the glory came from? It was because truth was being taught and it was being lived by some. But there are... What about the church at Corinth? Was that the glorious early morning church? I mean, really, chapter after chapter, Paul was reproving them for their practices that were in error. Paul did not cut them off, saints, because he had a vision that the church was bigger than that. And yet, he did not compromise truth. He kept teaching it. He kept preaching it. And yet we find in Revelation the warning went out to many congregations. It said, if you don't change your ways, I'm going to remove the candlestick. I'm not going to continue blessing you. I'm going to give you a space of time. How long that space is, that's up to God, not me and you. But there comes that time. So Lord, help us to endeavor by the help and anointing of the Holy Spirit to live this way, teach this way, have a vision of what the church of God is. And again, I told you that did not come by happenstance. Scripture said over in Acts 20, 28, feed the church of God. And then you turn over 1 Corinthians 1, 2, it says unto the church of God at Corinth. You know, the church of God at Myrtle, that's what it is. Here are some blood-washed ones. It wasn't an organization of men. This is God's people that had entered in through the blood. The name is not something that originated 140 years ago. It's something that goes all the way back in the New Testament time. That's where we began to really understand the church saints. Lord, help our vision to be open. The mixed multitude, He called us out, though. We live in a time that so many people are wanting to claim the name. Because the biblical name is Church of God. It does my heart good when I'm with someone. They say, well, what church are you a part of? I say, well, open up your Bible. I'll show you. I don't have to have an old book with me except the Bible. I don't have to say, well, let me tell you about this history. No, I can say, open up the Bible. Say, he says they're the church of God. We are named after the Father. That's scriptural. That's why we are. That's who we are this morning. But there are many today over in Isaiah chapter 7, in chapter 4, rather, in verse 1, it said, seven women would take hold of one man, saying, let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. But let us eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. So what's that mean? Okay, well, the biblical name of his church is Church of God. Okay? And that's big on God and little on church. Too many people are putting the big C on that. The emphasis is always on God. So we want to take our reproach away, so we know that's the biblical name, so we'll take on the name Church of God. Does taking on a name really change our DNA? If I call myself, I'm Michael Clevenger now. Part of the family, Brother Marty. Whether you want me to be or not. Does that make me a Clevenger? No. My DNA is Smith through and through. Do you know taking on a name doesn't change anything? Unless we have passed through the blood. And there are people that claim to be Church of God today, but they're saying we're going to do it our way. I don't want to be guilty of saying we're going to do it our way. The church of God are those that are saying, Lord, we want to do it your way. Teach us, Lord. Help us to have a love for souls and an open hearts. But at the same time, and this is where the enemy has worked so often, is I said the scripture is inclusive of every blood-washed one. The church is inclusive of every blood-washed one. But it is exclusive of false doctrine. It is exclusive of sin. It is exclusive of all these other things of worldliness. The church of God is exclusive of that. It doesn't embody that. It doesn't embrace that. And so what the enemy would like us to do is to go too far on either side of that. You know, there are too many that are getting too ecumenical. Their hearts are open and they're walking side by side with systems of religion and fellowships of people that are not teaching truth. The Bible, the scripture says, come out of that. And that's still applicable today. And then there are others that get so tight and so close that we don't want to fellowship with anybody, that they have restricted the openness of fellowshipping everybody that is washed through the blood. It takes the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives to help us to know how to walk that balance. But Lord, open up our eyes and give us vision. The Lord wants us to be a city that is set on a hill, that people can look at and say, I still know. There may be people that criticize, and there are. There may be people that say, well, the church of God, and I just like to stop and say, wait a minute. If you're talking about the church of God, are you talking about actually what's in the Bible? Because if it's in the Bible, let's not blame people now. Let's just say it for what it is. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to do this. I want this worldliness in my life, and I don't want to. I want to go there, and I want to dress this way. And you all are just too strict. We all have the freedom this morning, but the church of God is saying, Lord, we want to rise to your word, to your holiness, to your purity, walking in humility, not preaching ourselves, but Jesus Christ, so that when others come, they may see the love of Christ, that by your good works, they could glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Lord, give us vision and understanding. Amen.